Welcome to Morningstar Fellowship Online. We are so glad you've joined us for this week's message. We encourage you to come join us in person for our live worship experience every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. at either our Quakertown or Pennsburg campuses. You can head over to www.mstarqtown.org for more information. Again, thanks for listening, and here's this week's message.
In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6 this morning, we're going to continue and finish the chapter. Great to be with you. It really is. You know, may we never take this for granted. The awesome thing is we come together, and when we meet together in the name of Jesus, you know what? He's here. Think about that. Jesus is here right now. We're in the presence of the Most High God. There's no other God but Him. He alone is Lord. And because we've agreed to come together in His name, He's here. We're in the presence of the King. And what that tells me is a number of things, but the first thing it tells me is all things are possible. What do you have need of today? The King is here. He says, I want to grant your request. I want to meet your need. We're in the presence of the King this morning. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you. It's good to be together with each other. Amen? It is. Man, good-looking people, look around. Some good-looking people. Well, most of you. Most of you. No, good-looking people. No perfect people. I love that. No perfect people. But the perfect one is here. And the perfect one lives in many of our hearts and lives, and he's perfecting us. We're in a process. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, into his image, where we're becoming like him. And so that's why we pray one for another, encourage each other. And so we're here together, Romans chapter 6, and I want to encourage you, be reading in the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 7 next week. Not only read chapter 6, read chapter 7. Get involved in a connect group, as Pastor Jonathan was talking about. There's ones going to continue. There's new ones going to start. So get into the group. Walk this out with other believers. And so today, as I said, we're in Romans chapter 6. We're going to touch verse 11, go to verse 23. We saw last week the Apostle Paul, in the first few chapters, he establishes a very important point, and the point he establishes is this, that a true believer can't continue to willfully and habitually pursue sin. A true believer cannot continue to willfully and habitually pursue sin, because a true believer is someone who's turned over control of their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when Christ comes in, he breaks the power of sin over you. Now, a believer is not just someone who prays a certain prayer with certain words. A believer is not just someone who believes certain facts or truths about Jesus, but one who has completely turned control over their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's Lord of their life. And so, if you are willfully and intentionally pursuing sin, that means you're not allowing Christ to take control of your life, or you never have allowed Christ to take control of your life. But as we're going to see in the chapters ahead, this same Paul the Apostle, he knows the experience that every one of us face, every believer faces, and talks about himself. There are times that we will have, at times, even though you're a believer in Jesus and you've trusted Jesus with your life, there are times that you're going to have a struggle with this thing called sin and against sin. And we're going to see that in the next few chapters. He's going to talk about that. Even as himself as an apostle, there has a fight taken place at times, a struggle between what he knows he ought to do and what his flesh, his old life, is pulling him to do. And I know none of us here this morning have ever experienced that. Yeah. Some of you, thank God, are here today, and there was a struggle not to come here this morning. Think about that. But you're here this morning. Our God's great. So here's a big idea this morning, and it's this. Your version of the word may say submit. It means give yourselves completely to God. And this is what Romans chapter 6 is talking about. So when you give yourself completely to the Lord, you will experience the life and the freedom that only Jesus Christ has for you. Give yourself completely to the Lord, and you'll experience the life and the freedom that he has for you. So let's stand together this morning, if you would, and take your Bible. And as Pastor Jonathan said, let's be open and receptive. God has something for you this morning. Tell your neighbor, God has something for you this morning. Amen. And it's good. And it's good. I'm going to tell you, I just want to clarify. When I'm preaching, you know, I'm preaching the Word of God, and I'm not preaching my word or you know, they've come my beliefs and my convictions, but this is all God's idea. This is God's word. And when I'm preaching about things and some things that can be uncomfortable for us and uncomfortable for me, and I'm just preaching to connect. And someone, unfortunately, recently thought I was preaching right at them, right at them. And I'm not preaching right at you, Jan, this morning, but... And they got kind of offended and upset about that. And, you know, I'm sorry that took place, but I'm just preaching the Word of God. And many times I'm seeing you, but I'm not seeing you, if you know what I mean. I'm seeing you, but I'm not seeing you. And so if you feel like your toes are being stepped on, just say, maybe the Holy Spirit is saying something to me. Because I want to tell you truthfully, a lot of things I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit's stepping all over me, and he's calling me to become more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's get ready for the Word this morning. Amen. This is my Bible. This is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. When I read and hear the Word, faith comes to my spirit. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God, and it will change my life. I'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I need to make an announcement, just deviate here this morning. Today is the first day. We've prayed through something for a long time. We want to be spiritual. We want to believe in the presence and the power of God. And also we want to walk in wisdom, as the book of Proverbs tells us. So today is the first day. We have a safety team, but today is the first day at both campuses. We have a man from a security firm that is here with us at both campuses, and they're armed. There are many of you that are carrying here today. It's fine. It's okay. This man is armed because we want to walk in wisdom, and we realize, God forbid, and I don't want to have to say, and our leadership team doesn't have to say, well, you know what? This tragic incident happened, and we had an opportunity and a chance, and we decided not to do that. I don't want to live with that. I'm going to believe the Lord, and I'm going to walk in wisdom. And so you're going to see a man here and maybe some others, and that's who that is. And so we welcome them, and how many understand what I'm saying here today? Amen. Amen. So, if a true believer can continue to willfully and habitually pursue sin, we ask several questions. And if the resurrection power actually came into me, why do I still struggle? And we're going to answer this in the next few weeks at times with saying no to sin. Why do I still at times feel stubborn toward the Lord? Why does my mind wander in prayer and I lose focus sometimes in worship? Anybody have your mind wander in prayer? Is that something? Man, a lot, you got the Word open and you're praying and you're reading the Word. Oh yeah, I got to take care of that. I've got to do that. Yeah, what is if yeah? What happened? How can I change? So we're going to look at this morning several God-given life life-giving commands. I look at life-giving commands from the Lord through the Apostle Paul in this chapter. Number one, change begins with how you see yourself. Change begins with how you see yourself. Once again, verse 11, reckon or consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to Christ through Jesus Christ our Lord. Alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so this morning we're going to talk about being alive in Christ, alive in Christ. So when we consider ourselves already dead to sin, when we do, God infuses the power of his new life into us. And so here's four powerful, vital, doctrinal words. Number one, we've been talking about this justification. And there's a little saying that goes with that, just as if I never sinned. Justification, the action of deciding or declaring, making righteous in the sight of God. And it's done by the grace of the Lord Jesus. And it's his work that we receive by faith. We are justified with God in his sight instantly. We are made righteous with God and right standing with God the moment we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as our Savior. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? That very moment, we are justified. Sanctification, that means we're separated from our sin and we're set apart unto God, set apart for his special use and his special purpose. You're special to the Lord, separated from the darkness, separated from the lostness. Now you've come into life. Now you're set apart unto God. You're God's, and you are God's own, and you're set apart in him, and he has a purpose and a plan, and he wants to use you for his kingdom and his honor and his glory. And so that to make us holy, and the sanctification refers to a process of being made holy, the process of growing in the Lord, the process of maturing in the Lord. It's a lifelong process of becoming like Jesus Christ. And so you are God's workmanship. I am. You are a piece of work. God's going to be working on us all the days of our life. Amen? Amen. Sanctification, the process of him making us holy, glorification. And that's the final step of this application of redemption. And it says, when we leave this life and we go to be with Jesus, amen, glorified. And then I want to add one more, God's grace, his undeserved favor in our lives. And so in other words, just as we believe our way into justification, we also believe our way into the power of sanctification. And with that, you may say, well, I do that, and I've done that, but I don't feel dead to sin, dead to wrong desires all the time. Sometimes they're here with me right now. I'm doing that, but I really don't feel dead to all of my wrong desires, and sometimes you're standing right here in front of me. So I want to remind us of Romans chapter 4. Abraham, the father of faith. We looked at this a few weeks ago, and here's where it applies right now. Abraham, the father of faith, of the Jewish people, their natural father and their spiritual father, and he is our spiritual father. We've been grafted in. God called him from the modern country of Iran, and God says, out of you, I'm going to make a great people and a great nation, the Jewish people. Out of you will come a Messiah, a Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I'm going to do this. You will have a son, and out of him I will. Well, he was 75 when he made that promise. He was 90 years of age when God gave him that promise, and it didn't come to pass until he was 100 years of age, and his wife was 90 years of age, Sarah. When God declared that to him, and when God declared that to Abraham, Abraham didn't say, well, you know, God, I have been feeling mighty virile lately. Yeah. Yeah, God, I'm quite a man. Yeah, God, he didn't say, I'm a mighty man. So, you know, God, yeah, I believe you. I've been feeling it. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, God. No, he didn't do that. Romans says he believed God when he didn't even feel it. Even when he knew his equipment was past the expiration date, he believed God. He wasn't saying, I'm a virile man, I'm a mighty man. No. It says, and as he believed God, he received strength. As he believed God, he received strength. Romans chapter 4, faith is believing God as he calls things into existence that do not yet exist. Faith is believing God as he calls things into existence that do not yet exist. We want to feel first before we believe, and God says, no, you have to believe before you feel. Now, here's something I really want you to get a hold of today. Power comes through believing. Power comes through believing, believing in the righteous identity that God has declared over you, releases the power to live up to that identity that is in you. How many heard that this morning? I'm going to repeat myself, and that's why I would like you to take notes, whether I'm preaching or Jonathan's preaching, somebody else is preaching. Power comes through believing. I want you to believe this morning. Believe God for the salvation of your family and friends. Believe God for your healing. Believe God this morning for restoration. Believe God for relationships. Believe God for the provision in your life. Believe God. Power comes through believing. But it starts with believing in the righteous identity God has declared over you that releases the power to live up to that identity in you. And so I want you to hear this. So who are you this morning? Who are you? This is the new you. And this is briefly it. Number one, you are accepted by God. This is the new you. You're accepted by God. You're a child of God. You're a friend of God. You're united with the Lord. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You belong to God. You are a saint this morning in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor. Some of you aren't right by somebody, so you got to do some work. Tell your neighbor, you're a saint. Amen. I knew that the day I got married, St. Teresa. I got married to Teresa. But I've got a Bible name too. I'm John, so you know. You are accepted by God. Secondly, you are secure. Who are you? Your identity in Christ Jesus. Free from condemnation. You cannot be separated from God's love. You have been established, anointed, and sealed. You have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You are hidden with Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. You are born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You are significant. You are the salt and light of the earth. You are God's temple. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are God's co-worker. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are fully righteous in the sight of God. You are dead to sin's power. You have the resurrection power of Christ living within you. Power comes through believing in the righteous identity that God has declared over you, and that releases the power to live up to that identity that is in you. I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. You are in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Satan will tempt you. He'll do whatever he can to take your eyes off the new identity God has given you. He'll bring up your past. Anybody had that happen? He'll mess with you. He'll bring up stuff going on right now. He wants you to doubt your future. He'll put a twist on the truth. I want to say this with love and encouragement. You're a man of God. You need to hear the Lord says you can't do that anymore because you're a man of God. You can't make those choices anymore. You're a man of God. You can't live that way sexually anymore. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You cannot make those choices anymore because you're a child of the Most High God. You're a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot live that way anymore. You cannot be immoral anymore because Christ dwells within you. You're set apart for something far better. That's the purposes of God. You are a woman and a man of God. I'm living a new way. I'm walking a new way. I'm a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. God has better for you. God has better for you. The devil wants to mess with you. Proverbs 4:23, we are what we think. So Philippians tells us in chapter 4, verse 8, think on these. I need to think on something different. God has something better for me. I need to meditate on the truth that's in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul right here says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen. God does his part. My part is to open this up and begin to meditate on what God has for me today. Man, there's enough stuff out there that's going to bring destruction to your life. Going to bring sadness to your life. Going to bring regret, remorse, guilt, and shame to your life. There's enough stuff out there that's going to fill your mind with garbage. Garbage in, you know it. Garbage out. God's got something better for us. Think on these things. Think on these things. Pastor Tim Keller, author, he said this, Jesus is the only master who, if you find him, will satisfy you. If you fail him, he will forgive you. That leads us to the second point. Do not allow sin to control the way you live. We see this in verse 12 now through 16. Do not allow sin to control the way that you live. Sin can no longer hold you captive. Let's look at verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer is your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Which leads to righteous living. You're no longer the control of sin. You're no longer the control of porn. You're no longer the control of addiction. You're no longer the control of anger or unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment or pride or selfishness or whatever it is. And how does this take place? How is this possible? He says, we are no longer under the control of sin, of any of these things. Well, how is that going to take place? And I think there's a key right here. He shows us right here, verse 13, give yourself completely to God. Not just one day in a church service, maybe not just one day in your family room, but give yourself completely to God each and every day. Man, before your feet hit the floor in the morning when you get out of bed, here I am, Lord, I'm yours today. Do what you want to do in me and through me today. Lead me, guide me today. I want to walk in the Spirit today. I want to hear your voice today. I want your wisdom today. I want your knowledge today. I want to be full of your Spirit today. Give yourself completely to the Lord. That's the key. James 4:7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I'm going to tell you, so often we try to resist the devil and resist the devil and resist the devil. And I'm fighting the devil and I'm resisting the devil and I'm tired and I'm getting worn out. I've been trying to resist the devil. How many know what I'm talking about? We try to do that without doing the very first thing that will guarantee our success. And that is give yourself completely to God. Submit to the Lord first. If you don't submit to the Lord and give yourself to the Lord, the devil's never, ever going to flee from you. He's going to be right there in your face day after day, and he's going to get the upper hand. But when I give myself and surrender myself, and he wants to tell you surrender is a negative, surrender is defeat. When I surrender to the Lord, that's where I get up in victory, and I walk in victory every day. Amen? Surrender. Submit to the Lord. And so, man, if not, you're going to be held captive. And we couldn't stop sinning before we knew Christ, but that's not true anymore. You see, verse 16, it says, even though sin can't rule over us, it can still harass our mind at times. So what or who are we giving ourselves to? What or who have you been giving yourself to? Be careful. Are you giving yourself to God? See, we're in a fight. We're in a spiritual battle. We have to put on the armor of God every day. Ephesians chapter 6. Where's the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6. And sometimes we don't think of it this way, but I encouraged someone recently to do this. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the armor every day. How many people get dressed every day? You put clothes on. Thank you. It amazes me when I ask questions like that, some people don't raise their hand. I guess working from home, you can be naked all day. Whatever. But I'm glad you put clothes on today. I really appreciate that, and the rest of us do too. But you put the armor on every day. And I think logistically, we should do that. Thank you, Lord, for the helmet of salvation. I put on the helmet. My mind is guarded and protected, and nothing that is not from you will enter my mind today and lodge in my mind today and control my thoughts today. I thank you for the breastplate of righteousness. My heart, my spirit is protected today. There's no fatal arrows coming my way. I'm alive today in Christ Jesus. I put up the shield of faith. I take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God today, and I defeat the enemy with the Word that is true, the Word that will cut him down every time. Put on the armor of God every day. Hallelujah. We are, amen. We're free to fight sin. And we will win, but we must fight. Someone said this, you must be killing sin or it'll be killing you. Sin is slave. Sin's a captor. Sin is a predator. You can't play around with sin. We can't entertain sin. When we do, it's a disaster. So what do we give ourselves to? And you can say, what do we worship? And even non-religious people worship. Everyone is a worshiper. What I'm talking about is what we attach value to or ultimate value to, something you determine that you have to have in order to be happy in this life, something you feel if you don't have it, well, life isn't worth it. What do we worship? We have idols in this life that we become enslaved to. And so what is it that controls our behavior? Christian counselor David Paulson, he groups our idols, the things we worship, into four basic categories, and I think this is something you should write down. Number one, power. Power. Some people love influence and recognition, and they seek these things through money and status. Not only power, but how about control? Some people want everything their way, on their terms, according to their plan and their timetable, and if not, they're going to become impatient and irritable or angry. Some of us really want approval. They can't be happy unless certain other people are happy with them, admire them, or desire them. So criticism is devastating to them. Not to be affirmed is devastating. Feeling like they are not attractive enough is devastating. Being picked last is devastating. Or not being picked at all is devastating. How about pleasure? The good life in sensual delights, be it sexual pleasure, nice things, a house, vacations, car, food, comforts. Which of these four is maybe the biggest one in your life? A lot of times they overlap and interchangeable. And I want to say this, by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of these things in themselves. It is when they become central in your life, the ultimate thing that you can't live without, the thing you have to have, and it compels you even over what God wants, is when they become enslaving. And so false worship is when a good thing becomes a God thing, and so it turns into a bad thing. Nothing is wrong with these things until they become your master. And they're going to lead you toward death. And I want to quote Pastor Tim Keller again. His test, he shows us what our spiritual masters are, if you're wondering that. So let's talk about anger. I don't think anybody's ever had this problem, but anger, it can be a problem. When something blocks you from getting a good thing, you may get upset. I want to put you at ease. That's normal. I wanted that. It's a good thing. I didn't get it. That's normal. But if something blocks you from getting an ultimate thing, you get angry, you snap, and you rage. If that's you, you've got a problem. Worry. If something good in your life is threatened, you can get worried. Your kids are threatened. Your family's, you can get worried. That's normal. It's natural. But if something ultimate in your life is threatened, you become paralyzed. Your fear is over the top, out of control. You're anxious to the point that you can't even think straight. How about sadness? If you lose something or someone in your life and you grieve and you can weep, that's normal. That's normal. But if you lose something ultimate, you fall apart. You're in total despair. You feel like life isn't worth living anymore. And all of these three point to something that is displaced God in your life, as a master in your life. And every master besides God leads to death. The more you allow sin to control your life, the more you're going to experience death in this life. There's a way that seems right to a man, to a person, but the end thereof leads to, what does the word say? Some of you said it, death. Say it with me, death. Ruin, destruction in this life, and eternal separation from God in the next life. So you look at verse 23. The Apostle Paul wraps it up, and he says, for the wages of sin is death. Sin has a payday. It's going to pay off in this life, and it's not going to be a good payday. There's going to be a payoff in eternity. The wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, spiritual death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That sounds like good news, doesn't it? But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is for eternity. It's also the description of what happens right here when we allow sin to gain control of our life right here in the present. So here's the bottom line this morning. Submit to God, surrender to the Lord, give yourself completely to God. And when you love him, he's going to give you a new heart. He's going to give you new desires. He's going to give you a new want to. I mean, all these things, they'll become less and less, and he's going to become more and more. And there's things that you struggle with and struggle with and struggle with. They seem to have a grip on you, but you just allow him to love you, and you just love him, and you can't help but love him because he loved you first when you weren't lovely. He kept on loving you. He keeps on loving you, and that's going to become less in your life, and that thing's going to become less in your life, and he's going to become more and more. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? Last week, water baptism. I tell you, young Jeffrey right here, he said it. Teresa asked him, why do you want to get water baptized today? And young Jeffrey just said, because I love Jesus. Amen. Come on. We make it so complicated because I love Jesus. It's the goodness of God. Man, you just let him love you. Taste and see the Lord is good. Experience the goodness of God. Let him love you. He's going to just begin to change your wants and your desires and your priorities. Do you love Jesus? I want to ask you, do you really love Jesus this morning? John chapter 14, 15 says, if we love him, we're going to obey him. If we love him, we're going to serve him. If we love him. How many married guys do we have here today? You love your wife. I love my wife. I do. I'm not just saying that because she's sitting right there. You thought that was funny? I love my wife. I'm faithful to her, not because I got a list right here. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not going to go with that other one. No, because I love her. Because I love her. That's not happening by the grace of God. Because I only have eyes for her. I only have a heart for her. I'm only committed to her. If I love Jesus for his eyes only, I'm following Jesus. Do you love him this morning? Amen. 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 Or maybe you're in the same situation of the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where it says you've lost your first love. You don't have the love for Jesus that you once did. All that is able to change this morning. Jesus is here. He loves you. Receive his love. If you need to really be committed to Christ and give yourself fully to Christ, allow his love to come alive in you, he's here this morning. He's here this morning. You know, we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true in your life? Is that true in your life? Power comes through believing. Believing in the righteous declaration that God has made over you. That you have a new identity. You are God's. You're not who you used to be. You're a new man. You're a new woman. Maybe you're here this morning as the worship team comes out. And you say, you know what? You're talking about knowing the Lord like you really can know him. And I don't think I really know him. And if you're questioning if you really know him, the answer to that question is you probably don't know him if you have to question, do I know him? But you can know him this morning. I'd like to introduce you to Jesus. I'd like you to receive Jesus as your friend, but more importantly, as the one who can forgive you, the one that can save you, and the one that can give you a new identity. Verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. Don't worry about dying. You're going to live forever. Don't worry about dying. You're going to live forever. All you have to worry about is location, location, location.